So, should we do an intro? It's been... How long has it been since we did the last one?
What was the last one?
Exercise.
3 years.
3 years. Vicky, how long do you think it's been?
Exercise. I don't even remember that even... Oh, I reckon 5 months, is it?
Yeah, I reckon 5 months.
I reckon longer than 5 months. Is this a quiz and you're going to tell us the answer?
I will tell you the answer, actually. Let me have a look. I'll get it up. And whoever's closest wins a prize. Yes.
Prize.
All right, what month did we last do it?
I'm going to say October.
I'm going to say... What did you
October.
Say?
October.
Okay. I'm going to say August.
September.
Ah, we're both right.
Oh my God.
So a lot...
We are both right, yeah.
That's how you both heard that, isn't it? I heard two losers.
Yes.
You heard we're both right. That's such a Mickey way to...
Both...
It was in 2020, yeah. We were both right.
I don't know why is it that we've been so long
Vicky
been doing one.
It's probably my fault, isn't it? Is it my fault?
She's been living a life. Me and Rob have zero responsibilities.
Well, I certainly have responsibilities now, yes. I'm a mother of a 2-year-old and two and 3 months. He is.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. He's
wow.
Great.
Well, look, let me do an intro and then we can get into it. So,
yeah.
Hello and welcome to the 27th ever Guilt and Shame podcast with myself, Gabriel Bissett-Smith.
Me, Robert Causey.
And me, Victoria Margaret Jones.
So the Guilt and Shame podcast, what we were supposed to do every month, but as we've just established, it's been nearly a year. We talk about topics that people experience guilt and shame in and try and own them and make you feel better about them. And the world has ended, so we got a bit slow with it all. But now we're back with a really hard-hitting topic this time. Robbie,
which is
Robbie, do you want to say what it is?
Reality television.
Reality television, which, yeah. Just to start with, yeah. Vicky said, oh, I don't watch much of that, so I'm not sure what I can contribute, then proceeded to list about four shows, like Selling Sunset.
Which I watch religiously, yeah. Sunset... Dragon's
I think
Den.
People don't, yeah, I think...
Yeah.
People don't really know how much reality TV... I kind of think, oh, that's not reality TV.
Yeah,
is.
Exactly, because they vary so much.
But you think Selling Sunset isn't reality TV? What do you think
it's
is?
It's a bit on the it's fence,
a window.
Isn't it? It's kind of scripted.
You just watch through a window.
Yeah.
He's like it's prestige drama. It's up there with sort of like Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad.
I would actually argue because some of it's like scripted, so it actually, you know, does actually... There is an argument here, is what I'm saying.
Fair that enough. It's actually highbrow.
No, that it's, I don't know, is it reality TV if all of it's like written?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge question that we will be exploring.
Well, we can discuss that later. Yes.
I agree it's highbrow and lowbrow, though.
Of reality TV?
Yeah.
That's another thing we discussed. But before we start, it's been 7 months. Let's do a quick catch up. Go on, Rob.
Can I just say, I think we've really missed a trick because, you know, it's been lockdown. All everyone's had to do is, like, I bet people have listened to so many podcasts, watched so much TV. We haven't
done
one.
We were like,
Why is that?
Because we are renowned for not capitalising on anything that will make this podcast
like
successful. Yes.
Well, aren't we more impressive in our absence, though? Don't people, you know, think, I miss those guys.
Well, then... I will say, and I...
Gabe's had quite a few
Yeah,
messages.
I've had... In the last week, I've had three people who listened. Thank you so much for messaging and saying, when are you doing it again? One person who'd listened to us twice through.
That's so nice.
And they were like, when are you coming back? And so,
you know,
we're back.
Can I just say, why didn't you rewind a little bit and be like, when you said three people...
This week.
Message,
this
I
week.
I was kind of... Oh, I was kind of thinking like you were going to say like hundreds.
Yeah, that's just this week. So I'm not going to say that's every week, but you can do the math, listeners, if it was three a week for 7 months.
Do you know what? I never check my, you know, on like Instagram when you have a section of Instagram that...
The general messages bit, not the DMs.
When people message you that you don't follow and so you don't... I clicked on that the other day and there was quite a few podcast messages And so, you know, yeah, apologies to listeners that we haven't done one in
ages. We're actually horrendous to our fans. We don't really put episodes out and we don't receive the messages when they even send us anything, so...
But we are gonna change.
We're gonna change our ways. I'm gonna get onto social media more.
Or will we?
Unsubscribe.
I feel really guilty now.
Let's do Vicky.
Yeah, it is your fault.
Speak to Rob about 3 times a day. So Vicky, what have you been up to? Just fill us in on your life.
So I'm working on a Netflix show. Called am I allowed to say that? Yeah.
I mean, you tell us, babe. I don't know. We're not your lawyers. Are you allowed?
I think so.
How's it been? How's it been?
Say what it is.
Has it been? It's like, has it been announced?
Don't know.
That you are.
Don't know. How do you know? How do you find out these things?
Is it a spin-off of Animal House?
It's a lot like Animal House, but it's based on real human beings. This time,
maybe it's safer if you just say you're working on a Netflix show.
But it's good.
Oh, what a wind
up. It's on Zoom, the whole entire job, which is obviously what everybody does these days. I know that's making that sound like it's a
poor Vicky, Vicky guy. she has to do a Netflix.
It's on this thing called Zoom.
Very surreal.
Wow, that is high end. That's what Netflix does for you.
Yeah. Wow. It's very, very technical. We're just sort of working on story. Everything about it is amazing. And so I could just sort of work on my own the rest of the time. I get to spend a lot of time with Fox, who is super cute. He's started talking.
What's he saying?
He'll just suddenly know Gabe. A word that, like, for example, he used to sort of punch you in the face and then you'd be like, ow! And then, it's just in a toddler way, not in any kind of... He doesn't mean to, but then...
Okay, like, you keep telling yourself that.
So, Harry, Fox has started punching you in the face.
No, he's always done. No, it's just...
And what does he shout afterwards?
Playing and stuff. And then yesterday he went, sorry! Like that.
Oh, that's good.
He's so cute. Yeah.
So how many times has he punched you in the face before he's learned how to say sorry?
Many, many. No, I mean, it's just play, you know, his hands are going all over, because he's learning.
He's sparring you, like...
You don't think he looks at you and thinks...
Yeah, we spar, teaching
him. It's not like a considered thing where he looks at you and thinks, I'm going to punch you.
Sometimes it is, but that's only when, you know, when he's really angry. But that he stopped doing that now because
he's kicking now.
We decided that we were going to only like have rules about very, very few things, because I didn't want to be one of those parents who, you know, micromanage, like
who doesn't let their kid punch them in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be.
I don't want to be one of those strict parents.
Yeah. I don't want all my teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, I don't know, I just didn't want to be one of those ones that's just like, you have to, bending the child to my will and like getting pissed off about the tiniest little thing. And so we sort of have like decided that there's just a few things he absolutely can't do.
It's punch mummy in the face.
By the way. Yeah. Yeah. Violence is one of them.
Smoke cigarettes in the house.
Smoking's two. 3 is throwing stones off the balcony. Because he...
Does he like doing that?
He loves it. And it's really hard to stop him because he's really covert at it.
Who does he throw them at?
Absolutely no way allowed to do that. You up?
Who does he throw them at?
I don't look mostly, but hopefully no one.
Is there anything below? Does it go to
the nursery?
It depends which side he throws it off, but yeah, there is one side where it would just go all the way down to a long way down, and potentially.
Can I ask you?
So it sounds like quite a violent child.
No, he's not.
Sounds like we need to talk about Fox.
He's
so he throws stones off balconies and punches
he's
you in the face.
Can I just ask a quick question though? It's mad that covertly throwing stones. Do you think there's part of him that's like cottoned on to it being something he shouldn't do? Like, how do they? It's like they're drawn to things you're not supposed to do. I've had a few friends with kids, and they bring them around the house, and the first thing they always go is like the last thing you want them doing, and it's like they've got a sense for...
They get a huge amount of attention
pushing it.
immediately. Yeah, and they get your full attention, and they kind of think it's funny, and so it's really hard not to laugh. The hardest thing I've found is just not to laugh when he's done something, which, because you just have to manufacture the anger.
So wait.
My own childhood.
That was Fox manufactured. Fox throws the stones off, and you laugh. I think I know why he's
really.
Why he's doing it.
It's just like he'll do something and then look at you to be like, what are you going to do about that, huh? You didn't like it last time. Let's see what you do this time. And then he'll just like jump up and down and go, ee, ee, ee. And so we've really had to force ourselves to not laugh and to behave in the same way each time and just like be really cross just to try and wipe the smile off his face. But it's not easy.
Can I ask you a question? It's a story I heard the other day, and I won't name names, but a friend of mine, just going about how you discipline your child versus how other people did. They had a play date with someone else's child, and I think they're both like two or something, and the other person's child came over and really hit their child, like, to the point where they nearly fell down the stairs. But the other child's mother was like, we don't tell our child off. We don't say bad. And so they were really angry because they were like, tell your fucking child off. What's your opinion on that, Vicky?
I think it's terrible. I mean, violence, absolutely no. No, you need to like get down to their level. You need to look them in the eyes. You need to make it really, really clear. No way are you allowed to laugh. And, you know, usually sort of like, and then talk to them about how the other person must feel from you doing that. So like focus on the other person's being upset or hurt or whatever, rather than kind of making it seem like it's for no reason. Mm-hmm. Because they don't, like, they're just already such a little person that they're kind of looking for whether you're doing things arbitrarily or not. Because they kind of, it's almost like they need to know all the time that you like them at the same time, that you're with them, you know, that you're doing it with them rather than kind of because they piss you off all the time. So I really just never wanted to get into that trap of being like, telling them off for any reason, because they start to be like, I don't think you like me, so I'm just going to do things without you.
I don't think there's any risk of your child thinking that, Vicky. I just don't think there's any planet where Fox is like, Mummy doesn't like me. I think
it's difficult though. I mean, that's probably really bad parenting advice, because you're not supposed to try and make sure that the child likes you, are you? That's definitely
really
bad.
I don't know.
I feel like that's all I, especially in a relationship, I'd be trying with me and my partner Hannah, we'd be trying to see who they like more. It would just be a competition. Like, is that
I reckon that's probably really common, isn't it? Who's the favorite?
Who's the favorite? Yeah. Do you have that?
Maybe it's just inevitable.
Do you have who's the favorite?
Who's the favorite out of the two? Oh yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's heartbreaking when you're not, but you have
does
to
it
be
switch?
Supportive.
Does it switch
you
out?
Have to be like, yay, it's a daddy day.
When inside you're like, I'm so going to make
you. Does he switch it up from day to day?
Yeah, he does, yeah. Yeah, he's all about daddy at the moment, and I'm so happy about it.
So lots of spending time with Fox, lots of getting punched in the face.
Yeah. Heaven.
Vicky, how have you been, what's it like being in lockdown? We've been quite far into this from when we first did it, with a child, doing your Netflix on Zoom, the torturous Netflix on Zoom. Mm-hmm. what's it been like? How have you mentally handled it? Are you okay?
Looking back, I really wasn't for a while. And I had some therapy, actually, which was so helpful. And really, you know, I was like, actually, it was the balcony.
On Zoom,
the balcony became this really big, monumental thing for me. And I was like, oh, you know, the balcony, what if we all fell off the balcony? And
wait,
I just kept
what?
Thinking, yeah.
You kept really having a panic about
the balcony.
Really?
Yeah, I just, yeah. And like,
wow.
Yeah. I got it ingrained in my head that, like, I could fall off or, you know, or throw myself off. No, I mean, it wasn't like I wanted to. I was just scared that I would in my sleep or something like
but
that.
We talked about that before, and I think about it all the time because I have them all the time. I don't think Robbie has them as much. I think we established that Robbie.
No.
But I, you know, that thing when you said about having Fox and being scared to hold him because you're like, what if I just throw him out a window?
Yeah.
Like that weird.
Yeah.
And I've had weird panics about, like, what if I wake up in the middle of the, like, I don't know if it's all the time you're spending on your own, but it's like, you just keep and maybe the anxiety of what's happening in the world, that I've had similar things. I can sort of completely sympathise with what if I sleepwalk off the balcony in the middle of the night, and then becoming almost sort of obsessed, lying awake, thinking about it.
Yeah, and you get more and more rigid because you're like, maybe I have to hold on to this thing, you know, maybe I have to hold on to the bedstead to make sure that I don't. It's like, and then you're like, what am I thinking? I'm actually going crazy. I'm a crazy person. That sort of thing.
And can I quickly ask?
And so after therapy, how long did you do, and have you been feeling
so much better? Oh my gosh, yeah. You know what? One of the best things that she said was, okay, let's say, you know, because there was a while when I was like really scared of like jumping off a balcony and things like that. And so she said, okay, there's two versions of the truth. There was one version is that you are likely to do that. And let's talk through everything that will happen if you are likely to do that. If you are likely to harm yourself, you know, let's talk through all of the possibilities, very uncomfortable kind of list of things that you will then happen. And then she said, okay, and here's the next scenario. So the first one is I will do these things. And the second is I fear that I will do these things. And that, for some reason, was this like amazing switch in my brain where it was just like, oh, there are two reality, you know, there's two possible realities, and which one is it? Because it's one or the other. And it's just, I fear that these things might happen. And for some reason, that was just like, that completely calmed me down. And
said before, though, of the thing I always take comfort in when I'm... Because I think... I don't know what your therapist says, but it feels to me like a slight kind of combination of hypochondria and anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Those thoughts feel. And I... When you said before that it's actually kind of healthy to have those thoughts to some degree, that because you have those thoughts means you're less likely to do anything like that.
Oh, yeah. You're miles from being the sort of person that would...
From a kind of hypochondria or finding fear or worry in even the safest of spaces, I guess?
Well, it's like you just sort of suddenly start believing that your thoughts mean something, and what you learn through this therapy is that they don't mean anything, and you can just trust that they don't mean anything, and you're completely safe, and that everybody's having all these weird thoughts all the time, and they pass through your head and nothing ever happens about them, and you think, oh, that's weird, but you know at the most, but you don't really think anything more than that. But you if you get into this thing, you start thinking, oh, I thought that, what, how interesting, what does that mean? Maybe that means something, maybe I'm a bit, you know, likely to do it, or likely to be crazy or whatever.
Robbie's just got a balcony. Do you have these thoughts, Robbie?
Do you know what? Not at all. I've just moved house, so I've got a new balcony. Haven't thought about throwing myself in it yet.
You bought some furniture, you know, though, so you've thought about sitting on it.
I did buy some furniture. I'm glad that you've, I'm glad that
it's just been, I can recommend it so highly, like the experience of having therapy, because it's like the minute you do it, because before you do it, you think, oh, I'm not that bad. I don't need something as massive as that. And then when you start doing it, you're like, this is so normal. You know, this is such a normal thing to do, is to talk about what's upsetting you and make yourself feel better about it by talking to someone who's not surprised by anything you could say and is really kind. And, you know, get a kind one. I would recommend that.
Yeah,
great.
I've been trying to get Rob to do therapy for ages, just to wind him up, really. But
Gabe's always going on to me about. Yeah, I think you're just winding me up, though. You know, I've had therapy; it's great. I've always on this podcast been a very big.
I did a lot of therapy in my youth, and my father is now a therapist. Mm-hmm.
Quite recently, Gabe's father's a therapist.
Yes. So.
Just trained, hasn't he?
Yes, I'm not allowed. Actually, he doesn't really like me talking about it. I think it's because there's so much confidentiality.
Quite a good plug for his
for his therapy. So if anyone likes me but wishes it was older, go and see my dad's therapy. Do you guys ever have a thought, like weird thoughts, okay, I don't want to go too far with this, but where you sort of suddenly wander into thinking about a relative dying or like a parent dying, and then you're suddenly like, whoa, why am I even
like, oh my God,
going down that? But not in a way that's like I'm worried about it. It's like a weird... I used to do it at school when I'd slightly wish it would happen because I thought how much attention I'd get at the funeral. Does that make me a serial killer?
I think that's really common.
That's not...
No, I think it's...
It's like just having sort of daydreams and fantasies about things, isn't it? It doesn't mean that you want them to happen. Just,
no.
It's just thoughts.
But we do...
Can I just say Gabe's the one that told me to keep it light at the beginning of this podcast? And do you ever have thoughts about just like... everyone dying and
how much attention you get
just in the catch up
we're on it now. I'm just talking about it.
Morbid thoughts. I get a lot of morbid thoughts and then I'm very aware of them and then I try and just like not worry about it and then they go away.
Rob, do you get any this is what I constantly try and crack with Rob, because I just want to open that head and really get some darkness in there. But Rob, are there any morbid thoughts?
Good luck.
Yeah, any morbid thoughts hit you throughout the day?
Yeah, I have morbid thoughts.
Go on.
Of course.
Like?
But you know.
What are they like?
I guess I just don't really dwell on them too much at the moment, you know. Try not to.
What about hypochondria?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely suffered a lot from hypochondria, yeah. You know. It's something that I think so easy to do now, isn't it? We're all kind of on our own all the time in our own, you know, thoughts, and you know, it's the whole world is in a massive state of hypochondria at the moment. So
yeah.
It's a hypochondria's sort of nightmare, but they also say it's sort of calmed quite a few hypochondriacs, hasn't it? Because sort of the worst is now happening and it's kind of like, okay. Everything I was afraid of.
Has any of you been vaccinated yet?
No. Vicky? I'm going to be the first, though, because I'm the oldest.
Not necessarily. If
Rob has anything to do with it.
If I take it volunteering, if you volunteer to be a vaccinator, you can get it straight away.
And that you would be doing it, though, for the goodness of helping people, though, wouldn't you, Robbie? Not for jumping the queue.
I would 100% be doing it for the vaccine.
What if they said, thank you so much, we run out of vaccines at the end of the day?
I would say
I'd fucking flip a table.
Yeah. I would come in the next morning and I would snatch the vaccine off the first old lady that went in there and I'd stick it in my own arm. That's what I would do.
And then do that throughout the day on everyone.
Yes, exactly. No, a friend of ours did a St. John's ambulance thing and said to volunteer for vaccinating people, and said just doing the kind of week training of the St. John's ambulance was actually amazing. So you know,
can save lives.
I don't know if they need any more volunteers though. You know, do you? I mean,
I feel like it's slowing down quite a bit, isn't it? It's not. I don't know if we want to go too long into this vaccination chat. I feel like just everyone is.
Yeah,
sick
we haven't
of it,
even
right?
finished the catch up yet.
Yeah, I mean, we've already covered death, suicidal thoughts.
I'm so sorry. How are you?
I thought Vicky was going to be the most
temptations.
No, I think...
You asked
you know
me
what?
If I was really okay, which was a very nice thing to do.
But I feel like our listeners will be more warmed by our kind of... I don't want to say instability, but I don't think...
We're all thinking about killing ourselves, okay, yeah. guys?
I just don't think...
Don't worry about it.
I don't think anyone is feeling
great. We're all thinking
great.
About killing our friends, killing our kids. We're all doing it.
See you next...
It
see
just
you,
might
see
be
you
the,
six
it just
months
might
time.
Be the best.
Yeah, because... But because whenever I speak to anyone and they're like, I'm actually all right with this, I'm always a bit like, oh, fuck off. Like, I was kind... I feel like I'm... adaptable,
yeah, totally.
But I'm sick of it, like, beyond belief.
I'm just a roller coaster on a day-to-day basis, but, you know...
Go on, Robbie, hit us.
Take us through.
This is absolutely fine.
Take us through it, Robbie.
Well, once, I mean, some days I'm just absolutely fine, and some days I'm just like, I can't fucking bear this anymore, I'm going mad. But, you know, generally, it's okay. I live by myself now. I didn't live by myself, I don't think, when we did the last podcast.
No.
You know, I do actually think it's the best thing I've ever done. Living by myself is amazing. I highly recommend it. I don't know if that's the right thing to recommend in these times for everyone to just, you know, be more...
I feel like you've really taken to it in a way that I don't think... I don't know that a lot of people... It's incredible. I think you've taken it like a duck to water.
It shows how strong you are.
I mean, I actually think that... I don't know. I felt like living with other people during, especially friends, I guess it's different, you know, with families and stuff. But if living with friends actually probably give me more anxiety around COVID than living by myself. And I just because I feel like I'm a bit more in control of, you know, of it all, whatever that really means.
Yeah.
But I feel that I felt a lot less anxious living by myself than I did. And so yeah, I live in an apartment by myself now in Muswell Hill, which is
what's lovely. Your day like?
And
what's your day? What have you been up to, Rob? Like? Yeah, run us through your day.
I would say my day at the moment is just a real average writer's day where I'm banging my head against the wall for a lot of the day, working on ideas and feeling guilty about not working and and not getting enough writing done.
Robbie rang me with excitement because there's a thing called Masterclass, Vicky. I don't know if you heard of it, you know, like all the big writers and chefs and you can pay for it. And I got one and I gave Rob my guest pass, and Rob was watching the Aaron Sorkin one, and Rob's biggest takeaway that he was excited about, what was it that you told me, Rob?
Oh, my biggest takeaway was none of the writing tips that he gave was that it takes him between 18 and 24 months to write a movie, and I just made my day.
That's
just how long it takes him. I was like, great.
That's a really long time, isn't it?
Yeah, get it together, Aaron.
I actually think, in all fairness to him, he does write things where he says he has to, you know, most of his things has to do about 6 months research before. You know, but
you're only given three months in a standard contract to write your first draft.
But you're not Aaron Sorkin, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we can all take that much. He must get millions per script. I mean, if I only have to do one script every 3 years, I don't think I'd rush it.
He's good though. When you look at The Social Network, it's
the best film ever. But you know, so if you were given 22 months, we'd all still deliver it late.
Yeah, and you'd be about as happy with it as you were after 3 months.
But yeah, all's good apart from that, you know, just hanging in there waiting for all this to be over, which is really soon, right?
What's the first...
It's all going to be back to normal.
What's the first thing you'll do? What's your... normal.
Especially when, like, no one really remembers, no one's kind of got a grasp of normal anymore, so we're all
like, we'll just be standing in a pub, misholding a pint, being like, normal.
Is this normal?
Yeah. Rob, what's the first thing you'll do if... when lockdown is lifted?
The first thing I will do when lockdown is, do you know what I miss? And the first thing I will do is I will go running to a gay bar and get really drunk and have a really fucking good dance.
Aww.
That is the first thing I will do. Because I miss kind of queer culture in that way. I miss that. You do realise that is a huge part of, for me anyway, it is a big part of
I find Robbie's flat quite hetero, actually. I think you need to bring some more queer culture into it.
Gabe's been saying that. I mean, it's obviously I'm renting it, I didn't buy it, so it is actually just very grey, which I always think it's quite a hetero colour, isn't it?
Really? Steve's very into grey. We have a lot of grey.
Gays don't really go for grey.
Gays don't grey.
Ouch.
But basically, it's all very grey, and there's grey carpet and grey walls, and I don't know if I'm allowed to put things on the walls, so I keep buying like really bright, random things, like bright orange rugs and things to try and, you know, put a bit of colour in my life.
Grey and orange.
Oh, that was a judgment.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
That was a harsh out. Grey and orange.
Grey and orange.
I'll do my...
So, yeah, that's me.
For me, I'm like Robbie. I think I've definitely been up and down. I'm definitely struggling. I think that weird hot day we had and then going back into the cold was a real fucking, like, torturous, like, moment.
You really like the sunshine, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's that unusual, the way you said that, Vicky.
No, but, like, you rude.
You like the sunshine. I think it was the flip of going back into the cold, but I'm just like, yeah, I feel like we've gone through the houses. The other day, like, me and Hannah, we're trying everything. I mean, it's quite interesting being in a relationship, living together during all this, because you have to still make an effort. We're like, let's do something Friday night. We've done puzzles. We're doing colouring books. We play video games. We're just trying.
Puzzles and colouring? It's like nursery school.
Yeah. In fact, it's Fox like can Vicky's have some of this. No, no. Yeah. What Vicky's doing is far more edgy.
Yeah, Vicky's like, take this stone. See that person's see head that down there. Throw it as hard as you can. And you'll get a sweetie at the end of it.
I mean, it's
you'll get a sweetie if I see blood.
Fucking hell. Rob, you can tell Rob's not spoke to anyone today. Look at his face. No, you don't get dark thoughts though, Robbie. Weird. No dark thoughts, you don't get them.
He just likes them.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm trying to keep it light. Keep it light.
But it is weird. I don't know if it applies the same when you have a baby, but it is weird having... You're around each other, like, all the time. Do you find it weird, Vicky, or...?
Yeah, but it's been brilliant. I mean, we've had probably some of the dirtiest arguments we've ever had in the last year.
I thought you were
going
to say something else
there. Wow. I thought you were going to say something else.
I was going to say ugliest, argument. But I chose the word dirtiest. I don't know why. Maybe just to play it down a bit. But, I mean, we've had some big arguments, but we have learned from them, just like, because you're still around each other, you know.
Because you can't go anywhere. Where would you storm off to, Vicky, in an argument?
The other room that we're not in. Like, one of the few other rooms that we're not in. Not balcony. clinging to the door. What used to feel like a much bigger deal is never a big deal anymore, because we like go walk away, turn around, walk right back and start laughing about it. Or maybe if it's more serious, then just at least kind of going, okay, so what happened there was that I was just like, you know, it's just an inevitable thing that we're going to sort it out and get over it, which has been amazing for our relationship, actually. What about you?
Wow. So you've actually, like, would you say that both of you have, because, you know, I think we talked about this last time, but, you know, we're a year on now. We've all been locked down for a year. Would you say, and I think it's amazing that, like, because some people's relationships have taken a turn for
so
the
many
worst,
people's have fallen, yeah.
And some friends of mine have taken a real turn for the worst. I feel like both of you have managed to kind of balance it, where you've kind of, there's been phases where you've grown closer to your partners, yeah? Is that how it's worked out?
For me, yeah,
we've
definitely
grown apart. I'm not sure. Me and Hannah have grown apart, yeah. No,
no,
no, yeah.
You haven't.
No, we've, I mean, we've been, I think I've been blown away with, I think we're in a weird space where we're a little worried we've become too comfortable. Like, there's little phases, you know.
Codependent.
We're 100%. That's the weirdest thing, I think, coming out of this is going to be like, what's it going to be like when we're apart for a week? Like, I actually genuinely think that's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have a huge argument straight away. That's
yeah, break
happen.
Up immediately.
And you'll break
immediately.
Up.
No, you won't. You'll be fine. No.
I think the weird thing to me, I was just mentioning is that, I guess it's just, you know, having strange, like, kind of social anxieties of, you know, even like, I guess even some level doing this podcast, I was like, you know, you're just not used to talking in the same way that you've usually been doing, and, you know, it's getting used to that. Saw a couple of friends last week, and instead of like being like hi to people, I ended up kind of like lying on the floor and closing my eyes. It was obviously in a park.
It was in a park.
It wasn't
you
in the
need
middle
to,
of the street.
You need to, yeah. It was.
I don't know where I was picturing it.
It was an audition.
You did. Do you think that was anxiety? Because I noticed you sort of arrived and completely just looked like you fell asleep on the floor. I couldn't tell if you were just
arrived,
lazy.
I arrived, ignored people, and I went, yeah, I don't know what it was, but, you know, there's a lot of people talking about it in, you know, the news.
Were you lying down? in the park.
Yes, there's a lot of people talking about that.
Big news.
And there's a load of photos, and it's been a really big deal for everyone.
Do you know the weirdest thing is a lot of people after that day went, that was the most energised we've ever seen Rob socially, so...
Yes, yes, and that's what made the news.
No, but seriously, I think, do you find even talking to us now on this... Because I thought it, as it booted up, I suddenly went all fucking out.
Sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned it, but I just thought... all I would say is that I'm just slightly more aware of every single thing I'm saying more than usual.
Mate, you don't do Zoom every day, though, do you? Or do you do... But you're talking to people every day, aren't you?
I do. I'm talking to Gable. I'm having, like, generals and things on Zoom, and sometimes I have to kind of, you know, psych myself up for those.
Yeah, you've become... You
know. What does that look like?
If you do,
I was going to say something really weird then, but I just...
Go on, what was it?
No, just...
Go on, what were you going to say?
What does it involve? I don't know.
What were you going to say?
No.
Go on.
I psych myself up, I mean just trying to get myself into a mental state where I think I'm going to be able to talk like a normal person.
I think I get into a bit too... Today I felt I was a bit too over-energised. I was sort of doing a pitch for a show and... I was like, I'm sort of gabbling here.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, this guy has not spoken to women in a while. Yeah. They're like, I walked into the supermarket yesterday and on front of...
And lay down and close your eyes.
The sun. I lay down, closed my eyes and waited for the paparazzi to arrive. Basically, I saw on the front of one of the papers, I think it was the Sun, the main advice they're giving people at the moment is if you have lockdown brain fog, is to have an ice cold shower because it's the best thing to shake you out of. If you're at home and you're experiencing, I've just never been very good at that. Absolutely hate cold showers.
No way.
But I do get that. That probably will be the right thing to do.
How's it supposed to change your brain?
Do anything like that?
No, I wouldn't ever.
I've done cold showers when I was feeling particularly, like kind of a bit depressed. Oh. Or yeah. I have a cold shower when I haven't paid the heating bill. I have a cold shower when I to try and shake me out. But the experience I've always had is like now I'm just depressed and cold. I've never really been like, I feel great now.
It would never even occur
to me. I got into a thing of eating chocolate. That was that was the bad time. And I really put on loads of weight. But
but that's supposed to be good.
How is it good?
No, but dark chocolate's supposed to release like specific...
Endorphins.
I'm just going to be really scientific here and say specific things in your brain.
Wow.
Vicky, how much were you eating a day?
Take note.
I was eating in lunchtime. You know, it was like an addiction. It was really bad. I was eating at lunch, after lunch, like a bar or half a bar of chocolate. And then in the evening having like a cream egg.
Oh.
Delicious.
Wait, is that bad?
Delicious.
I
think a little bit of chocolate
delicious, Rob.
Good for you.
A cream egg. The creme de la creme.
I don't think cream eggs have really, really huge amount of...
Are you joking? They're like the sugariest...
Calories.
You heard it here, guys.
I remember there being like...
Eat those cream eggs, they don't have a huge amount of calories. Eat as many as you want.
Yeah. No, they do. They have a surprisingly large amount.
Yeah. I was like, seriously, I want... It was when my parents came. My parents came and we went for a little walk outside. It was amazing. We had such a nice day. It was on that really sunny day. And then, mm-hmm. Everyone was sending photos around the evening. And I looked like a whale. And I just had no idea.
I bet you didn't.
I really had no idea. I just looked...
I feel like that chocolate is supposed to release good chemicals in your brain that, like...
So it's cocaine.
You know, make you feel happy. Yes.
Yeah, not when you see yourself.
And alcohol, yeah. Everything that's bad for you releases things in your brain that makes you happy, though, right, for a short amount of time.
Exactly. Yeah. We've covered most of those things in the last 26 episodes.
Yeah.
We should get on with our subject.
Yes, go, right.
Oh, yeah, our subject. Our slightly borderline irrelevant subject, because I guess this is just an introduction into season 2 of the Guilt and Shame podcast, which we're now starting.
This is like season 10, I'd say.
No, we
started this in
2016. To launch us into season 2.
Oh, wow. So
it's been like a soap opera.
We started this in 2016, so each season's 4 years. So see,
I think we wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think we wanted to choose a topic this week that was
not too heavy.
Really, that we didn't have to do any research on.
Well, we've done the research.
None of us. We wanted to do something quite light, and so we chose reality TV. And I think the funny thing about reality TV is when lockdown started for me, I thought, okay, great, I'm going to finally catch up on all those amazing shows that I'm going to see that I haven't seen in ages. And then just reanalyzing everything now, a year on, I just watched so much reality TV and didn't watch any of those shows.
Like the highbrow shows, like the movies.
Chernobyl.
Still haven't watched Chernobyl. Everyone's going, you've got to watch Chernobyl. It's the best thing. Still haven't watched Chernobyl. I think what that's to do with for me is that it's to do with I have wanted to...
Lazy.
Like, not engage my brain into things that are too heavy. And reality TV has always been, for me, the perfect thing that kind of switches
my brain off. Can I just say, I feel like every night you sit down on your sofa, you bring up whatever it is, the Netflix, Now TV, and you go onto Chernobyl, and then you click over to Below Deck, and it goes back and forth between Chernobyl, Below Deck. Is that what? Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
Except without the Chernobyl bit.
I'm never going to watch Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's Below Deck season one, Below Deck season two. There's no Chernobyl in there.
But you know what? I really want to watch Chernobyl. I've just heard it's too sad.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to watch people's skin being burned off. Why would you want to watch that? I don't want to watch it. It gets so, so upset ever since... Well, I always have done, but particularly since being a mother, you just suddenly can't see devastating stuff or violent stuff anymore. I don't feel bad about
really
that.
Really interesting you've said that, because my mum always says to me that there was a time in her life when she suddenly couldn't watch violence on TV. Yep. And I don't know whether that was...
It's when she had you, little Robbie.
Yeah.
But basically, has that changed? That's recent for you, Vicky.
Yeah,
Vicky used to love violence, don't you remember?
Well, no. Fucking but I, yeah.
Horrendous
no,
stuff she'd watch.
It was a very profound change the minute that we had the baby. Everybody says that, right? Everyone who's had a baby, there's no way. You're pouring with tears. I couldn't watch the beginning of... In fact, neither of us could watch the beginning of that... what's it called? That chess drama.
What? Queen's Gambit?
Queen's Gambit. What?
I thought that was pretty
good. You couldn't watch the beginning of Queen's Gambit.
A little girl in the orphanage. Steve and I were pouring with tears.
No, it was a bit traumatic. It was traumatic.
I will say, though, even though we're getting off point, the Queen's Gambit, though, is remarkable in some ways because it's not traumatic. And the orphanage stuff actually isn't very traumatic. And the first thing I thought, you know when they go into the orphanage, you're like, here we go. This is going to be fucking dark. And it's actually not. It's actually kind of... All right, it's all right.
I do get that.
So do you find then, Vicky, that as someone who says they didn't watch reality TV, that you are slightly drawn to...
That darkest time for me and Steve when, you know, it was lockdown, it was big lockdown the first time around, and so we couldn't have anyone to come and look after Fox, and we both had to work full-time. We were really busy. Fox was not sleeping through the night, so we were both... Absolutely, so many people have been through this with anyone with children, but it's just like was really hard and continues to be hard for people who are struggling to work at the same time. But it's just like you just a husk. We used to call each other the husk, and like we just go and sit, you know, you just kind of get your food, shaking hands, and sit down on the sofa together. And the only thing that saved us in that time was Flora's lava. Just a godsend.
Have you mentioned Flora's Lava before? I can't remember, but yes, you have. I still haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it. It was silly nonsense, and I tried to watch it again recently with my dad. I was like, watch it, it's brilliant. And then we watched a little bit, and I was like, what was I thinking?
You were like, I was in a strange place when I thought this show was brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought this was genuinely brilliant.
I have to say, though, Vicky, Flora's Lava isn't reality TV.
Isn't it?
It's a game show.
I see. Yes. Okay.
I get what you mean, though, because it's up there with as game shows go, because it's very surreal. Yeah, it's the grittiest game show. Do you know what? I will say this about Flora's Lava. I had to stop watching because I don't think the health and safety was good enough, because some of the stuff they're jumping on looks really, like, hurtful and dangerous. And looks like they hurt themselves.
I didn't know you had such an interest in health and safety.
That's me.
that's what he channels all his anxiety into.
That's why
safety
for Chernobyl is actually my worst nightmare, because it is a health and safety disaster.
Just don't even talk about it.
The one show that I've really got into a lot in lockdown, which has become my favourite reality TV show, even though I feel very guilty sometimes when I watch it because it can be very misogynistic and... you know, a lot of the time, and it does what a lot of reality TV shows and projects a really unhealthy body image thing that, you know, but
Gogglebox.
Below Deck is fucking great. Yeah,
yeah. Below Deck.
Gogglebox. Below Deck
Below
has
deck.
Been my lockdown.
Oh, yes.
Been my lockdown choice.
Aren't they all just horrible to each other, those people?
Yeah, it's great. Just great.
I can't do reality TV where people are just horrible. So I struggle with Married at First Sight and the other one where they didn't meet each other. The reason I love Love Island or even something like Made in Chelsea, they're kind of a bit mean to each other, but there's an element of winking and knowing that it's being played up a bit. And the reason particularly I liked Love Island is there was the banter aspect, and it seemed like people were slightly more in on the joke. That kind of cruelty.
You don't like people being horrible to me.
Not really horrible. I can't. And
so sensitive. I didn't realise you were so sensitive.
What were you just saying about reinforcing stereotypes, masculine stereotypes? And then I say.
Yes, exactly.
But bigger question, broader question. When we started out in our careers, reality TV was considered quite a big bad thing to be coming onto the scene if you were a writer or a creator, or considered a real sort of stain on our craft, and it was going to be taking jobs away and we shouldn't embrace it. And I remember peak Love Island thinking, wow, everyone's just on board with liking this show now, and it's almost, you don't have to be embarrassed. But I would never admit
there
to watch a Made in Chelsea.
Especially,
like,
you never admitted to it.
Writers were very... Everyone thought it would replace scripted television, that's why.
Yes. And in Robbie's life, it has.
I mean...
Yes, which... as a writer, I can say I fully do not watch scripted shows. No, I do. I watch lots. I just... My go-to hangover, you know, is...
Yeah.
You know, well, not my go-to hangover, my go-to switch-off TV is reality. Yeah. What other shows do you both watch? Did you both watch, like, Big Brother when it was
first season of Big Brother? Incredible. Incredible.
I watched little bits of it.
But I mean,
Nasty Nick. You watched bits of it, Vicky.
Oh,
what the fuck were you doing?
I watched Nasty Nick, actually. I have to admit, I did watch Nasty Nick. Yeah, I just didn't like how manipulative they were being, and how, you know, you start to realise that the whole thing is like the producers are just messing with everyone. But
you've got to remember that in season one of Big Brother, the worst thing that happened in the whole season is Nasty Nick was like telling people to vote for other people. That was it. That was all he was doing.
Yeah.
And by like season five, I think Kinga was sitting on a bottle of wine. Like fully going outside and you know, or they were having sex in the hot tub and they had to, you know, it escalated so quickly, all of that stuff to like.
But it was Big Brother was crazy because it was the first one, wasn't
and
it?
Then
and everyone
there was
just
that bit where they didn't even know how big it had become. So when they came outside, they weren't expecting. I remember that they weren't expecting the crowd.
No, I remember
just like,
when Jade Goody came out.
No, this was season one. The best bit in season one, I don't know why I remember this, this is really sad, but they let them see the papers, and that's how they found out about Nasty Nick.
Yes.
They sent in the papers, the cover of the front page of The Sun. Imagine going into that being like, this will be a fun little show. The front page of The Sun was Nasty Nick is like torturing the house. And that's when they knew it was big.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah. What is your, and so, but Vicky, I feel like you, out of all of us, are the least engaged in reality TV.
Yes, I have never really understood it. I don't really get, I was really surprised by Love Island. That's the one that really got me, because so many people I'd never have expected to be into it suddenly got into it with Love Island.
Yes, it did. And it brought everyone back to kind of
But did you not
show.
Like yeah. it, Vicky?
No, I couldn't really get through an episode. I mean, I just couldn't sort of bear it. Like, really boring people.
I watched every episode.
I found them very boring, and I also knew that they were being manipulated or edited or mm-hmm. possibly, you know, told to say what they were saying or whatever, and I just felt like, I have no idea what I'm watching here. This is not who they really are. This is
But
not,
isn't that... But that's, you know, that's, this, the, that's this the draw.
Not even a point to this seat, this moment.
But that's the really? Draw. The reason I slightly like it, and even I like Made in Chelsea and stuff like that, is I feel like trying to work out sort of what's really going on versus what they're presenting, what they're manipulated to do, and what I sort of, that's the slight thing I kind of enjoy, is trying to work out when trying to spot a genuine moment versus a manipulated moment.
Yes, I can imagine
moment.
You being good at that, because you're you're good at reading people. But like, I don't know if I am, or I just feel upset for them, really. And then I know they're probably not upset and they want it, but like, especially when people are nasty to them or that they get upset, you know, it's just like, oh, it's like a zoo. It's like staring at animals in a zoo and laughing at them while they throw their feces at each other. No, they don't really do that.
Quite a damning quite. But guys, if you are looking for a new reality TV show, Vicky's Zoo, Vicky Jones's Zoo, where humans throw feces at each other, will be on
Which goes
Netflix.
Alongside Animal House.
Yeah, it will be on Netflix yeah. this summer.
It's a sister show.
Rob, yeah, So Rob, what shows do you watch? I'll tell you the ones I've watched over lockdown, because I remember this. It's Made in Chelsea.
I wouldn't massively call that reality in the way that...
I mean, it's the same as reality as Selling Sunset. Made in Chelsea and Selling Sunset are the exact same.
Selling Sunset is scripted as Made in Chelsea, because I did watch Selling Sunset.
Selling Sunset's apparently, I don't know this for a fact, but apparently
just say it's
very
a fact.
Completely scripted. And yeah, I mean, no. They're slightly, that's a whole different thing of reality, isn't it, though?
Are they not?
Different... Slightly different genre.
Do
reality.
You think they're not even selling those houses? Because I have read in
yes,
one of these facts.
Apparently, some of them are not for sale.
Yes, I've read in this list of facts about
have
how
you
much
got some
it's fake.
Have you got some facts?
Yeah, I've got
Vicky.
Some facts. You
okay.
Want some facts?
Oh my god, great!
Vicky's rivaling okay. Robbie. Should we do the theme tune, Robbie?
No, I mean I haven't got any facts.
So we'll do it for Vicky Vicky's then. Facts. Yeah. So we'll do the theme yeah. tune. Ding, ding, ding.
Vicky's facts.
Thank you. Okay, so
such energy.
Here we go. So reality TV, I'll just do the one that's relevant to what we've just been talking about.
Yeah, do the reality TV ones, not the
Yeah. No.
Not the poo
not
ones.
The poo
okay,
pieces.
House
yeah.
hunting shows will feature properties that aren't even for sale. Mm-hmm. Loads of the time it's just set up that the house is even for sale, and the mm-hmm. supposed sale that is happening isn't happening at all, and everyone's just pretending. So does that apply to Selling Sunset? Because if
that applies
case,
to everything, and 90% of the time when they're in their own house, that is also not their own house.
Ah, whoa. Next you'll be saying that the judges' houses like episode is not the real judges' house.
What's weird though is that everyone thinking it's reality TV, and you know, also everyone knowing that everyone knows that it's all, you know, people still like it.
That's the weird thing.
Knowing that, that's the strange thing.
That's the weird thing is that
it doesn't.
That two things have happened, right? So one of the reasons I always think Love Island is slightly better is because Love Island, most of those people aren't as adept to being on TV as they will later become. But if you think versus Big Brother, everyone is coming knowing the rules of reality TV. So it's very hard to find any genuine human beings on any reality TV show now. So the people going in it
Apart
know...
from the first season of Big Brother.
The first ever season of Big yeah. Brother. And then on top of that, we know... It's like a weird thing now where everyone involved is aware of the theatrics of it. And there's no genuine... It's not a genuine
yeah.
show anymore.
Like editing.
But I think that's all... Always why reality TV has done so well is because it, you know, it makes it means that any normal person can go in, be themselves, and end up being an absolutely huge star. It's that kind of fairy tale, you know.
Oh yeah, it gives you a shot at the what it, you have to sell yourself. But what other facts have you got, Vicky? Go on.
Okay, editing makes all reality TV shows. The producers edit interviews, conversations, and VTs, whatever that is, to make them sound bitchier. So those those awkward pauses in Made in Chelsea might not take place. They can even make someone say something they never said by piecing different footage together.
Right, so I've got one on this, because I know this, because I saw Charlie Brooker did it. When they interview you, they get you to say two things. So they'll be like, say one positive thing about Vicky and say one negative, and then later in the edit, depending on what's happened that day, they can then cut to the negative that you've said.
Whoa.
So a lot of the time when they're saying negative things, they've also said a positive, but they just cut that out.
Whoa, that's so messed up. And also, okay, God, there's so many, like the judges don't have any say over eliminations on The X Factor.
Yeah,
the producers decide who wins.
Don't you feel like everyone slightly knows that? Don't you think?
Yeah,
that
maybe.
We're all like, the judges aren't deciding.
Yeah, maybe. But
do you think everyone knows that? Do you think everyone watching it? Do you engage?
I think everyone assumes that.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Prizes are not what they seem. So Oprah did this thing where she gave.
You get a car.
Yeah, like she gave loads of people a car, but they have
to
pay.
You get a car.
Yeah, they have to pay 40% of it in tax.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, they have to pay for 40% of it because the prizes are taxable. And so they bankrupt themselves. Or they could go to court if they can't afford it.
So she gave them a car, but then they could have gone bankrupt because they had to pay tax on it.
Yeah.
Wow, ouch.
Yeah. Do you know what my favourite all-time reality show was?
Go on.
What?
And I still think that for me, there has never been one. I don't know if anyone listening would agree with me on this, but I'm going to give it a go. I think it was in 2004. It was a show called Playing It Straight.
Go on. Aww.
And it was June Sarpong. It was a Channel 4 who was presenting it. And there was a girl and I think about 15 guys. Mm-hmm. And she had to date the guys. And she had to pick one guy at the end of the series. And the guys, he was either gay or he was straight. And so the gay guys on the show were all pretending to be straight and pretending that they fancied this girl. So she picked different ones to take
so
on.
So she had to guess who was gay?
And at the end of each episode, she had to, you know, people got eliminated. And so if she picked a straight man, a real straight man, they would walk away with, it was like, I don't know, it might not have been 100 grand, but it was like, they'd get 50 grand each. But if a gay guy fooled her and a gay guy made her fall in love with him and then what they'd say at the end of each episode is, you know, are you gay or are you straight? And he'd say... And if he said, I'm gay, at the end, the gay guy would get all the money and she wouldn't get a penny. And I won't spoil it. Should I spoil it for you? Are you going to watch
it? No, I'm not going to go back and watch it.
I don't think I'm going to watch it.
I'm pretty sure, and it was a long time ago, I'm pretty sure a gay guy won it. And fooled her. I think that's what I wanted to happen.
You couldn't make that show now, could you? There's no way.
No, but they only made one season, and they obviously after you've made it once, because none of them knew what the rules of the show were. So after it had come out once, it didn't really work. It couldn't really work again.
Wait, who didn't know?
I don't care.
I don't know. I don't think I. Oh, no, forget that. I actually think that they... Why didn't they make a second
season? Because it's slightly offensive, isn't it?
How is it offensive?
I think by today's standards...
I think it's slightly offensive.
By today's standards, it's offensive.
Because sexuality, you know, is... You know,
so you're basically implying that some people... You can tell if people are gay, kind of thing.
Yeah, you're sort of saying, he's not gay.
Yeah,
which he was really good at playing straight, which... What does that mean?
By today's standards, it's certainly not... it wouldn't get commissioned. But I just remember at the time, absolutely.
No, I think it's a genius sort of...
Yeah. Trying to work out who was straight and who was gay, and some of the gay guys played it really
how
well.
How old were you? How old were you, Robbie?
Also, they were all... I can't remember, but they were all super hot as well.
Yeah, that's so, why. Yeah. I feel like, Robbie, that isn't that sort of a fan... You know, you got to watch that show also thinking who's straight, who's gay. As a gay guy going, I can't... You know, that's that. I can see the enjoyment of that.
Yeah.
That is a great show. The other one I find that I can't watch...
Did you not watch it?
No.
Did neither of you even hear it?
I heard about it, but it wasn't really so in my ether at that time.
And it was all set on like a kind of ranch, and it was all cowboys and... You know, stuff like that. I think that was the American one.
You watched both. Go on.
The one I can't watch is Naked Attraction.
What's that?
That's a game show.
No, it sort of is, but it's when they come on and you see they get someone.
I love it.
And so if you're... Say I'm looking for a woman.
So good.
They show you, like, the vaginas first.
No, they don't.
And you see them on TV.
How do you not know this, Vicky?
It's
so good. It's so good.
And then you pick
Vicky, it's so good.
And then you pick the vagina.
It's been on for years.
You pick the vagina you like, and then it goes up to the breasts, and then you pick, like, the breasts you like.
Oh, come on, no.
And then you pick who you want, sort of, by, essentially. I haven't actually watched it all the way through. I find it
quite hard. Vicky, you have to watch it.
Oh, I am not going to watch that.
For me, it's one of the most... No, it's a show.
I promise.
But then, obviously... Yeah, but then they, you know, they do it the other way around as well. And
it's how Vicky used to date, to be honest.
Those days are over, gay.
She lined them up, trousers down first.
But isn't it just gross? Just like, just a bit gross.
It is, but Vicky, honestly, if you watch it, I'm going to recommend that show, because if you watch it, you will definitely go, I have never fucking seen anything like this show.
Well, that's something, yeah. There was a show where Davina hosted, where basically people had to poo, and like there were three men in a row, and they all had to try and poo first, and whoever pooed first, Davina had to check, and she went to look in the toilet bowls.
What a whole show!
Fuck off, Vicky.
This just around
part
it.
Of
Vicky.
The show.
So dedicated to this.
Yeah.
Is this real?
Yeah.
The competition
is this real?
The competition was who pooed first. It was Davina McCall hosted
a
show
first.
Called Who Poo First.
You can look it up, seriously. It's in a documentary about shows, crazy shows in the 90s.
Oh my God, this is brilliant.
And,
was this a pilot? Did it make... Has it been running for several seasons?
In Vicky's mind.
It was a while ago, but it was quite a...
Who Poos First? By the way, if this isn't real, this is a brilliant idea for a show. You've come up with an amazing idea and you should host it.
I think that... Other bits to the show than that. I don't
think
that
would sustain the whole... What's the show about?
I've never heard of this show.
I haven't done any more research. I tell you what was good though, back in the 90s, was Eurotrash. Did you ever see that?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I used to stay up because Eurotrash had boobs in it.
Does that count as reality?
Didn't
no,
it?
It doesn't, does it? That's
not really.
No.
No.
Not
it was
really.
Documentary.
All right.
I think Big Brother was... Yeah, the first one, and then like...
Let me ask you a question though. What reality show would you go into if you were hard pushed?
What, like starring?
Yeah. What would you go on?
Definitely Naked Attraction.
Dragon's Den. I would go on.
That's not real. Yeah. What would you go on with though, Vicky?
No.
My invention of the
a game show,
a TV show where you have to poo in it.
Yes.
Who poos first?
Yes.
With Davina McCall.
No,
I'll
tell you what,
Love Island.
With a little valve, because you always get... You, someone always buys the little valves. You do Love Island.
Yeah.
Gabe, no offence, you wouldn't get on Love Island.
Yeah, I'm a bit old now. Yeah, I think... You know when they come out at the beginning and then the ladies have to say whether they're going to stand with them or not? I do think I wouldn't get a single one standing with me, but I think as it went on, my banter would win them over. That's my thought process.
Yeah, you'd be the underdog and then all the girls would be like...
Underdog.
Oh,
I'd like to see an LGBT Love Island. That's what I would love to see. I'd like to see like a bisexual Love Island where everyone on the show is bisexual, so you just could get a mix of anything.
Yeah, well,
can't they do that? All gay men, can't they do that? So anybody can have anyone.
I feel like there has been a show because there has been a bisexual show on, and I don't know if it kind of worked very well, but. There has been something bisexual quite recently.
Robbie, what reality show would you like to go on?
I would probably say some kind of like gay Love Island, but I just don't think I would do very well on it at all.
Would you be playing straight?
So maybe some kind of like, maybe some kind of like geeky version of Love Island or something like that, where like, you know.
Geek Love Island.
Oh, fuck it, Naked Attraction. Naked Attraction's not a reality show, though. It's a game show.
You would stand there with your balls out.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
He's done that on stage.
What about that one where they have someone choose...
I've done that on stage out of my volunteering to do that myself. Isn't it weird that, when you think about that, I've actually written a bit into a show that I was in.
That I directed. That we had to rehearse.
I get up.
In my bedroom.
Get my...
So we had to rehearse Rob getting his dick out in my bedroom, my small bedroom, because it was a towel sequence in a comedy show. Do you remember that, Rob, where we were like, okay, it's just me and you in my room and you're wiggling your dick about?
And I'm flashing you my penis. Yeah,
weird.
And we wrote it, so it came, it was something we wanted to happen.
Yeah, and it brought the house down.
We created that situation fully ourselves.
Yeah, beautiful story, you two, aren't you?
So basically, what show? Oh, you said Dragon's Den.
That's Ricky. Really boring. I feel really boring now for saying
does
that.
Does that count as a reality show?
No.
Okay,
I
then.
Don't think it does either.
Can I have Floor is Lava? No, because that's a game show.
That's a game show, right. Vicky.
No, you can't have Floor is Lava,
Selling
Euro
Sunset,
Trash, or
Big Brother, Love Island, Married at First Sight.
I would love to be...
Vicky, I can imagine you as one of
First
the Selling
Dates.
Sunset girls.
Yeah, I'd love to be one of the Selling Sunset girls, but only...
I bet you'd be so
really
good.
Thin. And with the Balenciaga, you know, or whatever, the handbag.
I think you'd run rings out around all of them.
I don't think Vicky would.
I would be torn up in a second.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the argument at the end of the of Selling Sunset. I do watch Selling Sunset, in case I haven't admitted that yet.
Oh, me too. It's so
it's
good.
Was
it's
the
just
most
so
disgusting
good.
Display of vitriol and bile I've ever seen in my life, but I have to admit it was good TV.
You loved it.
I didn't love it. I was upset for them all, but apart from Christine, who is just a terrible, terrible bitch. But
oh, I love her so much. She's gay.
Awful.
Icon. Yeah,
she's
but
so
she made
awful.
A choice. She made a choice. So, but guys, I want to ask you a bigger question on this. Do you think reality TV is inherently bad for us?
Oh.
Okay. Well, I would say. Obviously, if you look into the, you know, mental health aspects of what it does, you know, projecting these, especially in shows like Love Island, of how our bodies
Kardashians,
and,
all of that.
You know, that is going to have an effect. Yeah, that is going to have a negative effect on society as a whole, surely. But I don't know how much, you know, if I'm sounding really fickle here, I just don't know if how much, you know, it weighs out for me. And
yeah.
I can't be a hypocrite, basically, because I watch a lot of it and same. I find it very relaxing to watch. But I do not know whether it is slowly eating away at my soul and my confidence and my self-esteem without me really realizing it.
But
yeah,
it's bloody
that's
entertaining.
A really good answer, Robbie.
Yeah, Vicky watched
like
it.
Reading,
exactly.
It's like reading fashion magazines. You know, you grab one, you're like, oh, yeah, I want this. And then you, like, by the time you put it down, you feel like absolute shit and that you have no possessions or anything that's worth anything in the world to anyone. And like, you don't really necessarily make the link for a long time, but maybe there is a link. And so, yeah, maybe it's the same experience with watching reality TV. But having said that, I feel, and I agree about the sort of frivolity and the lack of kind of investment, that it's not probably not that good for our brains, probably fries our brains. But having said that, all like my favourite people love them and really find them therapeutic, and it certainly doesn't make them any less of a good person or a nice person or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Or fun to be around. And so it's hard to imagine... I would feel a bit harsh if I said that they should get rid of reality TV, because I think it's very therapeutic to a lot of people in a difficult time. And,
yeah, I think yeah.
I don't think they'd listen to you.
I think there's a difference as well, because in the current time, anything that gets you through this, I'm like, who gives a shit? Anything that's a distraction from sitting with your own thoughts and doing that. I think it's a completely different question outside of it. I've never thought it was actually damaging, and I do find that there's some merit. I think it can be damaging, but I do think, you know, there is sometimes not a huge difference between a Shakespeare play and Selling Sunset. We're still going to them for the same sort of things in terms of what we want from drama and character. And I think it's a bit snobby that when sometimes people are like, want to see Macbeth, Lady Macbeth.
Taking like the Jay...
Go on, sorry, Bobby.
You're right, I was going to just say, even with the whole kind of Jay Goody thing, you watch this kind of person who came from absolutely nothing, who then everyone hated and then became the most popular person on the show. You watched the story of somebody, and it was somebody real, you know, as well. You watch a normal person that is someone from the general public walking into a show, you know, completely laying their everything about themselves in front of you, exposing every single part of them, the good sides, the bad sides, and then they walk out a hero or a villain, and that is, you know, that is what people love about it.
Beautiful. That's Shakespeare.
It's Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Reality is Shakespeare, guys.
And you know, and if I was to highly recommend just some entertainment, which I do find myself watching whenever I'm drunk, and this would probably be the thing that I, you know, would like to, you know, recommend more than anything else on this episode of this podcast, is Kim Woodburn's Greatest Celebrity Big Brother Bits. It's about 15 minutes long. It's on YouTube. It's just very entertaining.
Nice. Good recommendation.
Oh, poor old Jade Goody. That whole thing just breaks my heart. Just the worst.
Oh, it's so sad. And yeah, I watched some of that documentary, which you watched as well, Gabe, and yeah,
it's bleak.
It's so sad, yeah.
There is a dark, I mean, you can't, I don't want to end on this, so I'll say it quick and then we'll say something, but there is a real, let's not ignore the dark side to reality TV and the people, you know, the Love Island contestants and people taking their own lives and stuff because of reality TV, because these people get thrown into fame in such a weird, aggressive way that you go into a house unfamous and come out of a house incredibly famous. It's not the same way that you climb up the ranks of fame, so it can have a really damaging experience on it, I think.
And I also think part of that must be, you know, all connected with the fact that these people go in and, you know, we're not all aware of what our bad qualities are, you know, from experience.
I haven't got any,
you know, in life. I mean, exactly. That proves my point exactly.
Why?
But we're not all aware of those. And for all of your kind of negative things to be, you know, edited also in a way that the show managed to put you as the villain in these shows, then you come out and you see all of this all over the papers. You're kind of stuck with that for the rest of your life. You've been this person. And I imagine that the mental toll that takes on some people that is, you cannot prepare yourself for that. You cannot prepare yourself for what mental effect that is going
Absolutely.
To have on you.
And
you know, you've exposed every part of you. But people have watched you 24/7.
And also you've been horribly manipulated by the producers. Apparently people are told to be a bad person by producers and stuff, you know, they're told they'll get into the second season if they behave in this way that's not their personality at all. So they're like, a lot of the time it's a complete lie to what they're putting out there.
Don't they do that on Love Island where they kind of, you know, they make people go and chat to some people and they make kind of say, you know,
you're not, getting much screen time. If you want more screen time, you need to
Like, most people
else,
are really lovely, aren't they? And that's the enemy of reality TV, is that most people are nice and will say the nice thing and we'll just sort of no one wants to watch that, exactly. So there's that TV show Unreal. Have you ever seen that? That's
well, I was going to say, Vicky, yeah. I feel like a lot of your reality TV perspective is fully, which is, I think it's true. I think so Unreal is a show on Amazon about behind the scenes of a Bachelor style show.
It's really
show.
Good. It's yeah. worth watching.
Really
first,
good. It's dark.
Especially first two seasons are really good. Yeah.
And but they it's super dark, that. But just in terms of if there's any final thoughts, I actually have a final question for you both.
Question.
If you were on a reality TV show, what type of character do you think you'd come off as? So, you know, there's always... So in my mind, I'd imagine, which I think everyone imagines, they go in and they'd be like the funny, bantery one. Mm. But I'd probably come off as the arrogant tosspot who...
Yeah. Not because you are, but because they could manipulate that.
Yeah, you're supposed
that.
To say fucking no, Vicky. Yeah.
I actually have no idea how I'd come across.
I think my nightmare would be that I'd become across as the whiny one. You know, that I'd be like, I'd burst into tears at some point and then it would just be like...
Yes, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd want to come across as like the really funny one, but then I just don't know if that would... That would just land with the rest, you know, with the rest of the public.
The really funny one.
I think that what you think you're
the really funny kind one, right?
No, funny, nice one that everyone likes.
Vicky, I know which what you'd be. You would be the really kind, nice one who actually, you know, there's always one like on Love Island who doesn't really get caught up in the drama, but is actually just having a great holiday. Everyone loves them, like just has a good time
win. And.
Yeah, it does. No, she's kind of voted out quite early because she's not giving enough drama. But, like, everyone's gutted when she goes. I feel like you'd be, like, the shoulder everyone cries on and then do one really bitchy thing.
Just at the end.
And then everyone turns on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll accept that. I quite like it.
Okay, accept it. Hilarious.
All right, guys, what have you got any final thoughts?
Well, I know what I'm doing this evening.
What?
I feel like I should have a final...
Watching Chernobyl.
Yes.
I feel like I should have some advice or a final recommendation. I've given up chocolate, and I have to say, it surprised me how easy it was. I mean, I had 3 days of headaches, but apart from that, it's been really good.
And you haven't had a single piece of chocolate?
None. And that's the only way I'm going to be able to do this.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know you had turned into a chocolate addict.
Badly,
so
yeah. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, what's your...
I mean, it has just been Easter.
Rob, what's your final advice that maybe, like Vicky's, has absolutely nothing to do with the topic that we were discussing today?
I haven't got any... My final advice, I don't know...
Watch.
Have a cold shower.
Watch.
Superstore. That's a nice therapeutic thing that is actually scripted and it's really good.
Vicky, that's Netflix. Not reality TV. You can't just recommend TV shows.
It's better than...
I don't think Vicky's understood what reality TV
she
is.
She said Dragon's Den,
this whole podcast.
Superstore.
Floor is lava.
Floor is lava.
I don't think you've got a grip on reality TV at all, Vicky.
Sorry.
Well, guys, if you want a real reality TV fix, watch Superstore on Netflix.
We will be back soon with a slightly more
topical and deep. All right, guys, see you all soon.
Bye
bye.